culprit's room and get it more regulated. Now, there are some news called reorganizing. I wish you'd listen carefully. Due to some situations, there's been some talk about the Wednesday night service. And so a suggestion was made, not by way of the elders, but we considered it. They said, why don't we have the Wednesday night's Bible study and prayer Sunday evenings? Our services are all full services, and so that wouldn't be any problem as far as I'm concerned, and Brother Bob thinks it also. It's not, we're going to try, see how it works. It'll save on traveling and energy saving, and also old men who are getting years up, it'll help them too. So let me say that just carefully if I can. We are reorganizing, no longer Wednesday night service and prayer meeting, but it'll be Sunday evening Bible study, preaching, and prayer meeting. Okay? And if you have any questions, ask me further. Let's see. Birthdays this month is my oldest daughter, Deborah, has a birthday on Thursday. And then I want to welcome Mrs. Dorothy Reiner Fisher. And she was a classmate of my sister-in-law. And I tell you, it's getting to be a strange world, I think. 75 years of age, I believe. I don't want to embarrass her, but somewhere there. Rides a bicycle. Is going to be camping this summer along the river, and then go to her Florida residence for the winter. Wow. Dorothy, nice to have you.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Yesterday at the Beverly Tanner funeral, they have a little funeral announcements. And I do want to read this to you. The front is, and Beverly knew the Lord, I'm quite confident. No eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has promised for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'll try to read this poem. But I was impressed as we waited in line, and I read this and I thought, wow, this is something else. See whether you get the blessing out of that I did. She, this poem was selected by her son and her daughter. And it, the poem kind of is as if she's speaking to her lost ones. And then she gives them a little admonition. How, and I thought it'd be good for us just to hear this poem. Now listen to this. It's entitled, Safely Home. I am at home in heaven, dear ones. Oh, so happy and so bright. There's a perfect joy and beauty in this everlasting light. All the pain and grief is over, every restless tossing past. I am now at peace forever, safely home in heaven at last. You must not grieve so deeply, for I love you dearly still. Try to look beyond the earth's shadows. Pray to trust our Father's will. There is, we're still waiting for you, so you must not idly stand. Do it now while life remaineth, and you shall rest in Jesus' land. When that work is all completed, he will gently call you home. Oh, yes, I'll be there to meet you. Oh, the joy to see you come. I thought, wow, they know. They know that was a professing Christian. And I thought, that's rather nice poem to give to loved ones and friends. Well, let's now enter into worship service. And my opening verse is in Revelation. Let me read it to you. Revelation 9:12. There was saying in heaven, a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. May we do that as we enter in and sing. Come, let us join with one accord, 323. Hallelujah, thine the glory, 634. Closing prayer, but let us pray together in front of the hymnal, Roman numeral 12, the Lord's Prayer, and may we stand together as we pray this together. Please let us stand. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, please be seated. And let's turn to another hymn before we have missionary Bert Kraft speak to us from the Word. It's hymn number 259, Father of Mercies in Thy Word, 259. Yes, Brother Bert, we have prayed for you, and especially coming out of Mexico, your concern with situations. Prayer has been made for you and your family. Personally, I didn't think that we would have the privilege of seeing you, but I am delighted. It's not uncommon, as you know, that when guest preachers come around, that they're invited to the pulpit. And so since you didn't call me and you're willing to do it, I'm glad you've come. I wonder if you'd come and minister to us. Please introduce your wife and these children, will you? We're delighted to see them. And tell us about yourself, too, will you? We know a little about you, but we'd like to know more and how things are. And whatever you have on your heart, please come. On the left ear.
Okay. Help me if I'm not getting it right there.
Let's see. That's right.
That's all right.
And it's on. Just stick in your pocket.
Okay. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Nice to see you. May the Lord give you liberty. Just feel at home, will you?
Yeah, I share one of those with you ahead of time.
Yeah. You have more of these?
Yes, I do. I'd like to. Well, it's not a surprise for me to be here this morning. I've been planning to come, and I didn't want to obligate Brother Robbins or the church to have a part, and so we showed up just to worship the Lord. And it's not every day that we drive 2.5 hours or 2 hours 45 minutes to be in a worship service. But as I told you last time we were here, we have a young lady. She's a nurse, and she travels 2.5 hours one way every time to Sunday services every week. She's faithful to the house of the Lord. And we do have 2 midweek services, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And because of the distance and her work schedule, she's not able to be there for those. But we do appreciate it. We've encouraged her through the years. We know it's a great expense, and it's exhausting when you do it consistently. It is fatiguing, and so we've encouraged her, and we let her know that her example was a blessing. To me, the last time I was here, I drove that distance, and I told her, I said, every time as I drove, I thought of you, and I just thanked the Lord for you. And so we're actually staying in Honeybrook, in Chester County, on this trip in. The Lord has provided a home there. We're staying on the second floor of a Mennonite home, and they've graciously allowed us to stay there, and so we're thankful for that. And we spent the last week visiting with my mother and my sister who live in Ronks. And this week we'll spend some time with my father and his wife who live in Hershey. So that's sort of our present situation. As I related to you last time I was here, the Lord in His providence had me to be birthed in the city of Pottsville. And I always tell people that's a pretty humble place to come from, isn't it? Pottsville. But the Lord does choose the humble and the vile and the wicked things and the things that are not to glorify His name. And so we're not ashamed of that. We're thankful for it. And the Lord saved me, and we grew up down here in Elizabethtown, Middletown area. I started to attend the Calvary Baptist Church in Harrisburg. And it was there that the first time I heard the gospel, the Lord saved me. The Lord called me to the gospel ministry. And then the Lord used Romans chapter... The Lord had called me. I sensed the call to preach and that I would be preaching or pastoring United States of America. And I really had a very small concept of geography, and I really didn't understand God's redemptive purpose. But it was one summer I was reading this some sermons by Charles Spurgeon. I was reading Isaiah chapter, the very verse from which he was converted, Isaiah 45:22, where he says, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and beside me there is none else." And when Spurgeon preached that message, he obviously pointed men to Christ and faith in Christ, justification by faith, and it was a blessing. But when he came to the part, "All the ends of the earth," the Spirit of God broke my heart, and I began to weep before the Lord. And I said, "Lord, any place that you would have me to go, that's where I'd be willing to go to preach the gospel." I didn't realize how big of a step in my sanctification that would be till many years later. That was quite an amazing thing the Lord did in my heart that day. And then it was after that the Lord brought me in my devotional reading to Romans chapter 15, verse 20 and 21, where Paul says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ is named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. For as it is written, to those to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." The Lord used that verse then, as the Lord dealt with me and I began to study the verse, the Lord used that verse to not only cast my eyes upon the nation, but I began to pray that the Lord would send me someplace where Christ is not named. Well, I obviously didn't have much of an understanding what that meant at the time. Because we've been blessed in the nation that we've grown up, we probably as Americans don't understand the depths of darkness that exist in the world. In places where instead of Christ being honored, there are many gods and there are many idols. And the world is deeply in darkness, the Bible tells us there in 1 John, is it not? And I didn't know how the Lord would lead me. Was asking the Lord now to send me someplace where Christ was not named, and began to study about the nation of Indonesia. Indonesia has over 13,000 islands, the largest inhabited Muslim nation of the world. But the Lord did not give liberty to go to Indonesia. We began to study about the Maldive Islands. Most of you probably do not know much about the Maldive Islands. It's an island nation also off the southwest tip of India. Off the southeast tip is Sri Lanka. Off the southwest is the Maldive Islands. And at that time, they were 100% Sunni Muslim. They speak the Devahi language. And there was not one verse of scripture in their language. Now, when I just talked about darkness, imagine if the English people did not have one verse of the Word of God in their language. Now, just stop and think of that, the implication of that for you and me. And the Lord did not give liberty to go to the Maldives, and the Lord directed us in His providence to southern Mexico, to the Indian tribes. And Mexico has over 230 living languages and dialects. Over 130 of those are found in the southern state of Oaxaca. And that's where tomorrow we will have been in Mexico for 18 years, and we have served the Lord there in Oaxaca all but 8 of those months. We were 8 months in Mexico City studying the language, and then from there we moved 350 miles southeast of Mexico City, and we've been laboring there ever since. We arrived in February of 94 in Oaxaca, and we began to use literature and to work the public markets and the Catholic festivals, and we began to make contact with people in all the gospel literature that we use carries a postcard inside of it. It's a little smaller than this because the law permits it so in the Mexican postal system. But that inviting to an opportunity to give them more literature to study a course by correspondence and so on. We got to the end of the year in 1994, and we did not have one Bible study amongst the people in a particular house. And so I told my wife, I said, I'm going to bring the new year in prayer. And so we live over a mile above sea level, but we live in the valley and we're surrounded by mountains. And so I went up to the mountain and brought in the new year in prayer. And sometime after midnight, as I was pouring my heart out to the Lord, and a man walked down the mountain and he looked over at me, and I'm sure I startled him, and he startled me the same. And he said, "Chaosis," and I said, that means, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm here praying that God will save souls and call men to the ministry. Now, thinking in my mind, he's a Catholic. He's out of there. He's not going to want to hear any more after that comment. Well, to my surprise, and this is so really uncommon in a Catholic country, he pulled a Bible out of his coat, and he showed the Bible to him, and he said, I've been reading the Bible now for several months, and I don't understand what it means. And the first thing that came to my mind was Acts chapter 8, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch. There, he's reading Christ in prophetic form in Isaiah 53, and he doesn't know who he's talking about. And the Lord directs Philip there by His Spirit, and Philip preaches unto him Jesus, and he's converted and baptized and so on. So I said, listen, I said, I think we might be able to help you with that. Why don't we set up a Bible study? It was now Saturday night, Sunday morning, and my wife and I were having services at that time in our home. I said, why don't we set up a Bible study here for Monday evening, and we'll show up here at the same place. And lo and behold, he showed up there. And then the next night we had a Bible study. It would have been Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We did that for a number of weeks, and somewhere in there we put a gospel message in the newspaper, and we got a letter from a school teacher, an elementary school teacher. Her name was Teresa, and she said, to whom it may concern, she says, she told a little bit about herself, and she said, I have many sins, and what I'd like to know is if God can forgive my many sins. Now, what a blessed question, and what a blessed opportunity to preach the Word of God. So Miguel, the guy that I met in the mountain, we went to visit her in her home, obviously we preached the gospel to her, and she wanted to attend the Bible studies but couldn't make her way up to the mountain, so she opened her home, and it was a very small living room. We began to meet there, And we had our Bible studies consecutively Monday through Saturday. And my wife and I still had our services at home. And then others began to write and inquire where we had our public services. And then the man that we met in the mountain, he rented the very first storefront that we ever had. And we began to have services there. And we had many come and we had many go. And that's just the way of gospel preaching, is it not? Will you also go away, Jesus said, to just a handful after many had already fled away. And so we've learned to trust the Lord and wait on the Lord. And we don't try to preach to those who aren't there. We minister to those who are present. And the Lord in His graciousness has saved the people for His honor and glory there. And we have baptized them. And that little congregation, I can tell you what it's like for years to preach to a handful, four or five people. And we did it in faith and we did it in hope. We knew the Word of God was working in lives and we had sowed and not sowed sparingly, but we had sowed, and I realized God has to make that effectual, but we had sowed the Word of God and we just continued to labor and pray and now 18 years with a lot of bumps in the road. The congregation that'll meet this morning, we're around 38, 40 faithful people. They're not all members and they're not all saved, but we're thankful that they're present to hear the Word of God every Sunday. And just a couple days before I left, we were actually asked to leave the storefront that we're now in. We've been saving 20%. Well, we did 20%, I think, for 2 years, and since about 2005, we've been saving 25% of all of the offerings and the tithes that come in undesignated towards a building or towards renovation or towards buying a piece of property. But it's so expensive in the capital city, the center of the capital city where we now meet. And so we are looking, praying about, and we're not sure, and we'd ask you to pray that the Lord would give wisdom, but we're actually think of voluntarily dividing the congregation and sending one group to the northeast of the capital city and another group to the south, southwest of the capital city, and out to the edges of the city. Property is much cheaper. The common people live there, and people who did not have personal transportation just a few years back, we have four or five families now that have a car or coming in transportation of their own. So it changes the dynamic of where we meet. But anyway, that would be very tough because the congregation in the south would be about 30, 32 people. The congregation in the north would be about 8 or 10 people. And obviously the one in the north would suffer greatly the loss of fellowship of the other circle. Not that the others wouldn't, but there would still be plenty of warmth, spiritual warmth and there in that community, spiritual community in the south. But so we're praying about that. And in the long run, if we take the long view, it obviously would mean that we'd have two congregations in the capital city in just a matter of time if we could survive the difficult period. So we're praying about that. We have several men that are gifted for the imparting of the word, the teaching of the word, yet they have unconverted wives. And so we do not have a man that we can lay hands on that is qualified biblically for the ministry. And so we continue to labor there, fulfilling the function of a pastor. I do not call myself a pastor, because it's my job to work myself out of a job. And we desire to see the national men led spiritually, saved by the grace of God, led spiritually by the Word and His Spirit, and to be instructing and guiding the sheep, giving spiritual watch care to those. And so we ask you continue to pray for the work in the capital city of Oaxaca. The other two works that the Lord has raised up through our ministry have been through very unique situations, and the Lord's always good. And I always say, we always look back and say the Lord is good. It's about time we learn to say the Lord's good and when the things happen, isn't it? And because He is worthy of our trust. But back in the 97 or 98, and I don't remember the exact time frame, but a brother and I, we went out to a village called San Vicente Coatlan. San Vicente is a Zapotec village, very little Spanish is spoken there. It's primarily of the Zapotec language. And we went out with the Gospel of Mark, and we went out with three cassette tapes that were the corresponding reading of the Gospel of Mark in the Zapotec language. We got out to the last principal village, and it was market day. We ate at the market, the brother and I, and we began to ask, which dirt road is the one that leads out to San